That first reading has a rather strange ritual in it. You know, this ritual of taking animals, slaughtering them, cutting them in half, and laying one piece of the animal here and the other piece over here. What was that all about? Well, it was a way of sealing the deal. It was a way of sealing a covenant. And apparently that was not uncommon in that time and culture. What two people would do if they were making a contract or commitment to each other, they would slaughter animals and lay them down, and they would pass between the animals, both of them, saying that if I don't live up to my side of this bargain, may I be like these animals. Now notice there's something very different, though, in what happens in that story. Abraham does not walk between the animals. God moves between the animals, symbolized by the fire pot and the flaming torch. What is it saying there? That the commitment was one-sided. God was making a commitment to keep his word to Abraham, that he would become the father of a great nation, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky. Remember, at this point, Abraham is childless, and he's old. But that's the commitment. Now let's move to the gospel reading. In the gospel reading, we have Moses, the great lawgiver of the Jewish people. And we have Elijah. Elijah was one of the great prophets, the one who was taken up in the fiery chariot. And the tradition said that he would come again. Those two great men are seen talking to Jesus as he stands on the mountain in his glory. And what does it say that they are talking about? It says they are talking about the exodus that Jesus was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Exodus. That word immediately brings our minds to something else. The exodus of the Jewish people. Their passage from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. And that whole journey from freedom, from slavery to freedom, we call the Exodus. It's interesting that Luke would use that word to describe what they were talking about. Jesus' exodus, his movement from slavery to freedom. Now, Jesus wasn't a slave to sin, but Jesus was a slave to all that sin brought about. He was part of the human condition. And so Luke is telling us how he passed from that to the glory of the risen life. That was what was to come in Jerusalem. Another significant part of that gospel story is right at the end, where the Father's voice is heard, and it says, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." Then it says, Jesus was seen alone. Moses and Elijah were no longer there. What is that saying? It's saying that those two great figures of the true faith in God that the Jewish people had had suddenly disappear. They are supplanted by Jesus. He now becomes the one who carries the new covenant, the new relationship with God. He is the one who from now on will be the source of life and salvation for his people. The old is being done away with Jesus, the new is coming. St. Paul, in that second reading, speaks to us of faith in this Jesus, that our salvation comes to us because we have faith in Christ Jesus. Going back now to the first reading, what did it say about Abraham? It said that his faith was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, he believed in the Word of God. And that very act of believing made him a righteous man. Our believing in Jesus Christ is our source of life and righteousness and goodness and holiness. Now, if you go back to Abraham, though, it was more than just an intellectual assent. It was more than just saying, I believe in the Word of God. Abraham built his life around that word, leaving his homeland to a strange land when he's an old man, putting his hope that even though he was beyond the childbearing years and his wife was, that he would have descendants. That's what faith is. Faith is not just something here. Faith is the surrender of our lives to that word, building our lives on it, living our lives according to the promises that we have received. And what is our promise? That in Christ Jesus, you and I will come to the fullness of life. Excuse me. I believe that's the real challenge for us. How do we build our lives on that faith? Paul, in that second reading, talks about putting aside the things of the world. Talks about the people whose gods were their bellies and whose glory was their shame. What is he saying? He's saying people that continue to try to find the meaning and their purpose in life in the material things, in the external things. Instead, he says, we glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in dying to put in all of our hope in the things of the world. And we begin to live our lives in Christ Jesus, knowing that if we are one with him, we will live forever in the kingdom of our God. It is that abandonment of ourselves to Christ Jesus. It is that surrender of ourselves to him that is so difficult for us. We constantly want to take it back and try to give meaning to our own lives, give purpose to our own lives. It is only Christ who can bring us to the fullness of life. That's why Paul says to us, our citizenship is in heaven. It is there that we will find the very purpose and the meaning of our lives in the Jesus who has gone before us, in the Jesus whose members we are through the life-giving waters of baptism.